Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everyone. This is Chris Richardson. I want to welcome you guys again to another episode of the Real Talk with Chris Richardson show. I'm excited and want to thank you guys again for taking the time out of your schedules to join us tonight. I know that you could be doing a number of things, but I certainly want to welcome you all to the show. If this is your first time listening to the show, just want to say welcome and sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. In fact, tonight, put your seatbelts on because the young lady that I've got with us as our special guest is going to blow your mind. If you are a lady that's listening, well, this is a treat for you because it's all about you tonight. This is really all about the focus. So if you're the single woman and you're looking for Mr. Right and you're waiting, let me say, you're waiting for Mr. Right, not looking. There's a big difference. We'll come back to that in a minute. But if you're waiting for Mr. Right, well, this guest I've got for you tonight is going to flat out tell you how to do that, what you need to do in the meantime while you're waiting for your future husband. That's right, I said husband, not boyfriend, because you're more than just girlfriend material, okay? So we want to make sure that you get the proper upgrade. Nonetheless, again, welcome to the show. This show is all about helping people find true love starting from the inside out, about helping people get real answers to some of your problems that are going on. It's not all about self-medication. We simply say on the show, you can live better, love deeper, and laugh more when you are better, we are better. That means better husbands, better wives, better family members, all the above, just simply when you are better. And so that means that I always say don't self-medicate. We believe that I am a healthy advocate and that counseling and therapy does work if you work it and open up your mind to the options available to you. There's a plethora. But nonetheless, joining me live here, I'm going to introduce our guest in just a second. And the next voice that you hear after the song selection will be none other than Ms. Jordan Branch. So stay tuned right after the song selection. We'll be right back.
To be heard.
Hey, well, there you have it from Jill Scott. You don't know anything about love. Well, ladies, we're going to find out what you know about love if you're waiting for your future husband. What does that look like? And none other tonight than my special guest. There's Jordan Branch, who joins us live tonight. I'm excited and tickled about her. Let me read her a little bit about her bio. I'm not going to read the entirety because we'd be here all night. But I want to share some snippets of it, and I think this is so exciting because you're talking about, you know, the woman who's waiting. She knows what she's waiting for. So she's not just looking to settle. She's waiting for the man, not Mr. Perfect. She's waiting on the man who's willing to step up and say, hey, you are the bride and the prize. So I'm excited tonight. So without further ado, in 2014, Jordan created the Jordan Writes blog. That's right. She is a writer, ladies and gentlemen, with a purpose to help women deepen their relationships with God. Having grown up around religious traditions, Jordan had always known about God, but didn't know God. And in 2012, God led Jordan on a personal journey where she began to discover him for herself. Gradually, she began to understand that there was more to God than just believing in him and that God wanted an actual relationship. That's significant, Jordan. You're right. A relationship with his children that continued beyond Sunday. Well, her experiences led her to write her first book, I Believe in God, and you can find that too. It's called I Believe in God, Now What? That's right. Say it with a purpose. I believe in God, now what? And a candid description of the challenges that she faced and experienced prior to her life with the Lord, often called bold sports discussion for taboo topics. Jordan Writes is just a glimpse of the way God uses Jordan through her writing. And ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, as I said, I could go on and on, but I want to bring my special guest in. So Jordan, go ahead and say hello to everybody.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, I am well, and it is good to have you, good to hear your voice and bringing the energy that you're bringing in tonight. And this is great because, you know, we get a chance to vibe, and we met through a mutual friend and who made the connection and thought that because of what we do, the similarities of our body of work, that we should connect. So I'm excited, and I want to thank you and welcome you to the show. Go ahead again. Just tell people a little bit about, if we had to say, who Jordan is. Who is Jordan?
Hey, everybody. Well, my name is Jordan Branch, and if I were to have to say who am I, I'm an author, and I'm a blogger, and I'm all of the other great things that Chris talked about already, but more importantly is that I'm a woman with a past, and I've overcome addiction and promiscuity and a suicidal attempt, as well as the guilt of rape. And I overcame all those things through Christ. And so now the purpose of my organization, Jordan Writes, is to help women and girls deepen their relationships with God amid stormy past or past struggles.
Hey, Jordan, that's key. And, you know, we hear a lot about women who have different, we all have a past, you know, men as well as women for that matter. What were some of the challenges that you had, and what sets your story so much different? You know, now that you've found God, how have you been able to use that to draw strength, and how has that been able to use that same strength to help other young ladies who are similar and find themselves faced with similar scenarios like yours?
Well, I would say that I definitely, to answer the first part of your question, I draw strength through the Word. There's no other way that you can draw strength if you aren't in the Word on a daily consistent basis. It doesn't matter how much you go to church or how often you attend Bible study or how active you are in your church environment. If you aren't spending alone time with God in your personal quiet prayer closet and really praying your own life out, it's just not going to be sufficient enough for you just to go to church on Sunday or be active in church. And it doesn't matter how much work you call yourself already doing for God. So to answer your question, I get my strength from the Word and through my daily time with the Lord. That's what strengthens me. And also just fighting that when the enemy comes to give me certain thoughts about certain things or about my life or what I think it should be or where I think I should be or anything of that sort, I fight back with the Word and I tell him who God has called me to be. And to answer the second part of your question, that helps me touch other women's lives because when I'm strong, it's easier to help others be strong. But when you are just feeling weak or when you are depressed or when you're just letting your situation overcome you instead of letting God overcome your situation, it's hard to touch other people because you're focused on yourself.
And I like that. Now, how long, this is really good, and I think you said a lot of key points in that. So let's talk a little bit more about this story. And we're not here to look or judge the history, but I think that we draw strength through the history to see as you look back over your life and all the things that you've overcome, what's your greatest sense of accomplishment by your struggle?
What would be the greatest accomplishment of my struggle?
What's the greatest sense of your accomplishment through your struggle?
Just knowing that, I would say knowing that I can then use what I've accomplished and what I've overcome to help others. When I think about that, that really touches my heart, just how much God loves us and how much he cares about us, and that he can use even our mistakes for his glory. Not that he wants us to stay in sin, or not that he wants us to continue doing wrong, but that he's just so powerful and he has so much, he's so much greater than the enemy, that he can even use our past to help someone overcome their past. Because it's one thing to say to someone, you know, you can get through what you're going through, but then it's another thing when that person sees that you've already gotten through it, and you're telling them they can get through it because you got through it already. So it's like the word says, we overcome by our testimonies and by the blood of the Lamb. So I would just say the one of the greatest accomplishments is just being able to help other people.
With the struggle that you had at a young age, how old were you when you initially looking back when you experienced some of the traumatic experiences, how old were you? And it's a two-part question because you can see already like two, three-part questions. So when you look back at your life and that season of your life, how long on this did it take you to get to where you are now?
Well, the first part of the question, how old was I? Different phases. When the time that I tried to commit suicide, that was in high school. And at that point in my life, I was going through a lot of depression. I was the girl that just hated the way I looked. I was really unpopular and always got picked on, which I'm grateful for those experiences now, not at all encouraging anyone to try to kill themselves or anything of that sort. But just in terms of how people treated me and what I tried to do to myself, I have a point of really relating to girls who are going through those things, whether it be suicidal thoughts or they don't think that they're pretty or they don't think they're good enough or they don't get asked out on dates. I went through all of those things, so I know what it's like, and so I can talk to them from personal experience. So that was in high school, and then later on, the depression, as well as the addiction, the alcohol abuse, the promiscuity, that was in getting raped, that was more so in my college years and a little bit post college years, where I just got really heavy into the college environment and the partying and everything of that sort. And I was already really insecure from things I went through that I already talked about in high school. And instead of going to God to fill those insecurities, I went to a lot of just different drugs and alcohol and just different things to try to fill those voids. And it just got worse when I got to college because now I was on my own and away from my parents. And I didn't have to be concerned about who was checking up on me and things of that sort. And so I was going to church on Sunday during all of that. I was really faithful with that, going out to the clubs and smoking weed on Saturday and going to church on Sunday like it was nobody's business, thinking, not even knowing I was doing anything wrong, because that's how the world does, and nobody thinks that everything, for the most part, everybody thinks it's okay, because that's what's glorified in the media and everything, that, you know, we say God's name, but we don't, and we mention his name in rap songs and stuff like that, but we don't live a life for him. So our kids think that, you know, that's all right. I missed the second part of your question. What was it?
I think you kind of summed it up in the gist
okay,
of it. Was,
all right.
You know, for the most part. Now, here's the thing. You've been through so much, and I love this because, so I think sometimes God takes you through your your pain and brings you into your purpose. And he'll use that oftentimes, the thing that you have had experiences through, good, bad, or indifferent, and he'll use that so that folks that are listening right now can see, they only know your end result. They can see the Jordan where you are now, but they don't know the struggle. They don't know how often you cry. They don't know the days that you wanted to, as you say, commit suicide. They don't know what it was like to, may not have the experience of rape and hopefully never will, only through that. So who helped you to overcome some of these challenges? I mean, were you able to just go to church one day? And I hear you saying also, Jordan, that you had religion, but you didn't have a relationship. And that was one of the things that you say in your initial bio that was significant, that you learned about relationships. So tell me this. Who helped you when you were going through this to understand how to walk and how to respect yourself, how to love yourself? When did you start learning how to do that?
Oh, definitely my pastors. My pastors, God, of course, Jesus Christ. And so what happened was after I was raped was the point where I just decided, okay, God, I really want to just be serious about you. So I had a friend that witnessed to me about Jesus Christ about 3 weeks after I had been raped, and I was really, my suicidal thoughts at that point had hit an all-time high. So I was really close and wanting to kill myself and would even have thoughts about how to do it, and I could just drive off the road and just, you know, pretend like it was an accident, all these other crazy things that the enemy was trying to do to keep me from accomplishing God's purpose for my life, and help making me forget or neglect to realize that my situation was only temporary, and that, you know, suicide is a permanent action to a temporary situation. And so, after my friend witnessed to me in the midst of all of these thoughts and everything that I was going through, he just told me about Jesus, and it was the first time that I had ever heard somebody talk about Jesus in such a real personal way, because the sermons I had listened to back at church, they weren't personal, and so it was like I was hearing somebody's personal test really drew me in, and I really knew and understood. I was like, okay, God wants me, he loves me, and he just wants me to stop, you know, the different things that I'm doing that are causing me to go this way and that way. And so I gave him my life, and from that point on, I just started to, you know, little here and there, I would cut out things, but for the most part, I just cut out stuff cold turkey, whether it was the clubbing and the weed and all of that stuff. But then about 3 months later, I would definitely say that what really helped me grow was my pastors. I have some phenomenal pastors, Pastor Shane Wall, Pastor Hubert John, and Pastor Eddie Massey. And they just have tremendously all helped me grow in my spiritual walk with the Lord. And it's so important. It's just a reminder of how important it is to choose a church that God has led you to and not just be there because of people or routine, because what you get is going to determine your growth, and your growth is going to determine other people's growth. So, and how far you go.
And I think you're spot on. So, ladies, listeners, I think what's important that you're seeing me do, I want to spend some time on this thing about building the right foundation. Yeah, the topic is clear, you know, how to wait on your future husband. But if you don't have a foundation in place, see, Jordan has been through some ups and downs. She's been through some real-life experience and traumatic experiences that if you're not careful, see, the man that's on his way, you may not be ready for it. That's why he's not there. And so What Jordan had to do and what you're hearing her say is that until she found out who she was and learned to love that person from the inside out, she wouldn't have been able to accept the man, because all she would have done is push the man who came along, pushed him away. And oftentimes we do that because what happens is your pain becomes somebody else's struggle, and they have to relive that because you haven't done the work. And so one of my good friends, Lorenda, would always say, you know, bruh, this is how she says it, you know, you got to put in the work. And Jordan, it sounds like you've done the right things to step in place. So now that's, which is a good segue, you've got your foundation in place. And, you know, it's impossible to build a tower on a faulty foundation. You can build it, but is it going to last? it will it sustain mm-hmm. itself over the test of time, you know? And so what I'm hearing from you, and I'm hearing with my spirit of discernment, is that you have connected and you have looked at how do I build this thing around a God-centered focus. And so with that, now let's talk about, you know, what does it mean after going through all of that? My one question that I want to know is that through any relationship that you may come up against, how do you find yourself not regurgitating the experiences of your past, seeing as though that you do, everyone have a history, but how do you find yourself finding that, I guess I call it the safe zone, to where you're able to trust men, trust being in certain environments, to where you can love without the conditions of the past? Does that make sense?
Yeah, basically you just want to know how do you let go of your past and love and not blame your spouse for what somebody else did to you.
Very good.
Basically,
yep.
Yeah. So there's a few ways. First off, you have to, like I mentioned before, you have to be in your word. Your word is going to be the and I just feel God's presence even saying this. Like the word is so important. I can't stress that enough, ladies. Like if you are not in your word, you are not. What are you living by? Like you're only living by your thoughts or by your emotions, and that's not enough of a foundation to help you overcome everything that you're trying to overcome in life and move forward. And so you literally have the word. It literally gives you power, and not just reading it to read it, but you have to then apply it. So you have to apply it, and you have to believe what you're reading. And you do that, and you form a belief in him and a trust in him by spending more time with him. And just like you wouldn't you wouldn't give a stranger your debit card because you don't know a stranger, but you might give your debit card to your mom or your friend because you trust them, and you trust them because of the time that you spent with them. So the same thing goes with God. The more time that you spend with him, the greater your trust for him is going to develop, because the more that you'll know him and the more you'll be acquainted with him. So that's why it's important to pray throughout the day and spend daily time in your word and never cease in praying about everything and praying throughout the day. And so spending time with God and being in your word, another way to overcome your past is to accept reality. Just the Holy Spirit was just speaking to me recently just about just accepting reality. Sometimes women get married, but as my pastor so eloquently put it, they're married, but they're not single in their mind. They're married, but they're still married to somebody else in their mind. So they've gotten with somebody else, but in their mind, they're married to multiple people. You have to, before you call yourself jumping into a relationship, which do not make the mistakes I did by going back-to-back in relationships, breaking up with this one month, and then 3 months later getting into another relationship. That's just not healthy. You need time to grow and to let your soul and your emotions heal and to let God, you know, be the one to bring somebody else back into your life. Don't try to force it just to fill that void, because otherwise it's going to be like almost like binge eating. You don't really want it, but it's like you just want to fill something. You just want someone to fill a void, fill whatever it is that you're feeling. So you're just taking it just to take it. And that's not healthy. That's how we end up with a lot of divorces and everything. So I would say that the second bit of advice I would give to you is to accept reality. Accept the fact that you're single. Accept the fact that, you know, that the guy that you wanted to marry just isn't the one. Accept the fact that he doesn't want to be with you. And once you accept reality and stop living in your mind like, okay, maybe he'll come back or maybe it'll work out. Once you just accept reality, it's so much easier to move on from your past, because you're not going to ever be able to move from your past if you're still living in your past in your mind. And so a lot of times women get married, but they haven't accepted reality. So they're married to this one guy, and he's so good to them and everything of that sort, but they can't see it because in their mind, subconsciously, they're still stuck and attached to this soul tie that has moved on, lives in another part of the world, and is married to someone else and isn't even thinking about them, but they are in their mind still attached to them. And because they're attached to them and haven't completely moved on or accepted reality, they tend to blame their new person who is so perfect, but they can't see the perfection because they're still holding on to the past and blaming that person for those things. So accept reality, spend ample time with God, learn to trust him for yourself, be in his word, and just get to know who you are before you call yourself being with somebody else. Because the whole purpose of having a spouse is so that that person can help you and be there for you. But how can they help you if you don't even know what God wants them to help you with? You don't even know what you're called to do.
Preach.
Well said. I like that, and I think that's really important. And this is kind of a good segue. You kind of touched on it a little bit, but I want to ask this question just for the sake of it, and maybe you can summarize it in a couple bullets, if you would. How would you define the difference between, you know, waiting, hurting, and healing? You touched a little bit about some of the healing process that women need to go through so that they don't carry their struggles basically into the new relationship. But if you had to define in your own words, you know, for someone who's listening right now, maybe it's a young lady who's in that same scenario where she's, you know, accepted just this is the reality and not necessarily accepted her truth, that she is loved by God or that she's, you know, that she still needs a little bit of time by herself. How would you define the difference between waiting, hurting, and healing?
Okay. So, let's see. Okay, so let's go with the hurting one first. Okay, so when you're hurting, you'll know that you're hurting because you are in that phase of just of sorrow, and you're hurting, you're in pain, and there's nothing wrong with pain, don't get me wrong, but at a certain point in time, you have to rise up and take action. There's a part in the Bible where, and you have to forgive me because I'm trying to recollect it, but there's a part in the Bible where someone was mourning over Moses, and God had to tell them, you know, you need to rise up and take action. You've been mourning for way too long. It's time for you to get up and help the Israelites, basically. You have work to do. And so there's nothing wrong with hurting. I understand, you know, breakups hurt. It hurts when somebody cheated on you. It hurts when God shows you that that person isn't who you thought they were. But at some point in time, you have to go from hurting to healing. And once you enter the healing phase, okay, you might be dealing with a little bit of pain, but God is, you're in the phase where you are understanding, all right, God is teaching me that he is stronger than my emotions. My emotions might be hurting. I might feel like I want to be back with this guy. I might feel like, you know, like I miss him, but I don't walk by my feelings. I walk by my faith. I don't walk by my emotions. I walk by my God, and my God is not my emotions, and my God is not my feelings, and my God is not my thoughts. My thought, God has shown me that this person doesn't really care about me. Then I thank God for this healing phase because I'd rather know now, you know, 1 or 2 years into the relationship that this person isn't really who I thought it was than to, you know, get married for 10 years and end up with, you know, an STD or divorce or what have you. And if you are in that, you know, phase of your life and that is what happens to you, God can cover you even in that. But to the ladies who haven't experienced that, why go through that if you don't have to, if that doesn't have to be your story? So healing is basically the phase where you're understanding that God is greater than your emotions and you're learning to fight those emotions. And the way that you fight those emotions is basically talking back to the enemy. And we see in Matthew chapter 4 where how to fight that, that Jesus gives us specific instructions, like almost blatantly, specific instructions as to how to fight back when the enemy kept coming to him in the wilderness, coming at him. And each time he fought with the word. So when the enemy comes to you and he says, you know, oh, you'll be single for the rest of your life, or, oh, you know, you don't have a purpose, or, oh, nobody wants you, you fight back and you tell him, no, God has created me with a purpose, and his word says I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And you tell him, no, enemy, leave me alone. You're going to hell, and that's you, and I'm going to be living in eternity with Christ, so I don't have to listen to you. We let the enemy talk to us more than we talk back to the enemy. And so you have to talk back to him, and that's your phase of healing. And once you enter the phase of waiting, because just because you're healing and hurting, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're in a waiting phase. God is not going to enter your mess, meaning that if you're still in lustful thoughts, and people classify lust as sexual, but if you can be lusting after something by wanting something that God doesn't have for you. So whether it be a house or a job or a guy, if God has told you that that's not for you, or he's made it clear that that person or that thing isn't for you and it's not what you need to be with, and you are still trying to go after it in your mind, that's lusting. So if you are still in a lusting phase for anything or anyone, you're not waiting. You're still either hurting or healing, because God is not going to put you in a phase where you're waiting for a spouse, or where you are where a spouse is in the vicinity of getting closer to you, or where he's about to come closer to your life. And you are not in a position where you're ready to receive him, and you're still lusting after somebody else. God is not going to mix himself in with that, because he's not going to give his best to you, and you're not prepared for it. And likewise, he's not going to, likewise, he doesn't want to give somebody else to you, and they're still thinking about somebody else. So you have to make sure you've gotten lust out of your mind or your heart for somebody else that isn't really for you. And so once you're in the waiting phase and you've gotten all of those things out of your spirit and your soul, you're just in a content phase. You know, it doesn't really matter how long you are for you're going to be single. It doesn't really matter if you're single for 10 years or 10 days. You're just so focused on your purpose and where God has you that you're just like, you know what, God, I just love you so much, God. It doesn't even matter how long you have me in this season, Lord. I care about you, you know, and I'm just content where you have me. And you know, sometimes the enemy does try to fight me with these thoughts, but I pretty much understand now that you're greater than my emotions, so it's not as difficult anymore to fight these things. And it doesn't even really hurt that much anymore. So, you know, I remember what he did to me, but I thank you, God, that I've overcome it. And you're content. That's when you know that you reach your waiting phase, is that you're content and your hurt has pretty much gone and you've matured past your emotions.
Hey, and that's one way to sum it up. I'm curious now. Now, we've kind of laid the foundation. We pulled the layers back of this thing. I'm curious to what our listeners are thinking right now. So let's take some calls, Jordan. If you're out there and listening right now, we're going to take your call. Feel free to press 1. Dial the number 619-924-0869. Press number 1 on your key, and we'll take your call. Now, we one housekeeping rule, real simple, and I didn't mention this earlier on the show. We can always agree to disagree with a topic or with what was said. We can always challenge the message, but we never attack the messenger. Real simple, point blank. We can challenge the message, but never attack the messenger. So, ladies, I want to know from you that are listening out there, or if you're a fella and out there and you've got a question for Jordan, let's hear it. What are your thoughts and your comments about what's been said and shared so far? If this information that you've heard kind of is blessing you to some extent, we want to know, too. Let's encourage our sister. Let me hear from you. 619-924-0869. Also, if you're out there and you're online right now, you can also join our Facebook group. We've got a live chat that goes on. Usually it's interactive throughout the show. And that is The Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show on Facebook. So that's The Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. Just send me a friend request on that, and we will kindly accept it from there, and you will be able to chat with us live. All right, so Jordan, as we wait for any call to get on the queue, let's go ahead into our next question as we talk about there. I'm curious now, we've kind of talked about the waiting process, but what does it mean, what do you do while you're waiting on God?
What do you do? Well, I like to say, I mention a lot to women, and I mentioned this before on my blog, where on Jordan Wright, on the blog, I wrote How to Wait on God for Your Future Husband. And I just told them, basically, a lot of people see waiting as passive, but waiting is not necessarily passive. Waiting is also active. So what do? To answer that question, you're in an active phase. You're passing tests that the enemy is trying to send your way and that God is allowing in your life. And you are you're overcoming temptation. You're learning how to be patient. You're learning how to endure through trials. You're not quitting on everything that comes your way, but you're learning how to endure through those things, because it's the little moments in time right now that you go through as a single woman that prepare you to be a wife. So never see anything that you are going through right now as small. Your boss that aggravates you, or your coworkers that aggravate you and get on your nerves, they teach you the patience that you need in your future marriage for when your husband, you know, bothers you and you want to talk back. But, you know, you need to tame your tongue and be respectful to him. So the qualities that you learn now are going to be the things that you're going to be needing later on in a marriage. And even how sometimes you want to quit your job, or you want to quit something that God has given you to do. You don't want to write that book. You don't want to endure to the next day, but you keep moving. Those are qualities that you need in a marriage as well. It's endurance. So I would say that you're just actively you're actively seeking God, and you're actively doing your all and to develop character and maturity in character.
I like that. That's spot on. And I would just add this for the ladies that are out there. Recently I got engaged, and that was one of the strong qualities for me that was paramount in the selection process of finding a wife, is her relationship with God. And to see that lived out, meaning that it was, for me, it was important that she had just more that Jordan talked about early on. Just a Sunday experience wasn't going to cut it. Because after Sunday, hell going to come knock on your door, and I need to know that I've got a woman who is not only battle-tested, but she is Bible-vested. So in other words, like Jordan said, she knows how to open up that word. I needed a woman who knew how to, you know what, she's taking classes to understand discipleship. She's being discipled too, so that she can understand how to disciple others. So that means she's investing in her future with Christ here on earth for her future in eternity. That was important to me, to see that lived out and played out. That means that when stuff hits the fan, are you going to fight or are you going to flight? You know, at the end of the day, what you going to do? So if you've got a word in you that can help you, sustain you, and you've got good counsel around you, that's significant. Now, for me, being a man, that was something that was important to me. And every man is different. But for me, in this day and age, it's important, because right now we know it's clearly, I say this all the time, Jordan, in our culture that we live in, we are no longer a pastor said this past Sunday. We don't live in a culture that's Christian values anymore. The Christian values are gone to the side. We live in a culture where right is wrong and wrong is right. And it's acceptable. Do what you want to do, how you want to do it. In other words, do you. Who cares? And sadly, you know, it's something that we're forced to buy into. So, you know, I would encourage, ladies, as you're out there in your waiting process, again, one is all the things that Jordan has laid out. It's a smorgasbord of options. But what's paramount is know who you are, find who you are, and be all that you are called to be. And when this is the thing, I always say this too. A man can sense where you are. He can sense where you are. It's just like a dog, you know, and not saying men are dogs. Please hear me out. What I'm saying is that I can tell what a person is or where they aren't by the first conversation I have with them. Mm-hmm. We have this thing called intuition and animal instincts, if you will. I was asked this question at an event I did for First Baptist Church of Glen Arden, six months ago, back in October. And one of the questions that came up was, you know, should a woman approach a man? And, you know, I use this analogy, and I want to say this to the ladies, because I know today that might be contrary. Mm-hmm. But Adam Eve didn't approach Adam. Eve was presented to Adam, okay? And so then, therefore, Adam named her Eve, you know? And so I think it's important to let God do the leading, let God do the unfolding and unveiling of who he's going to present to you, that Adam didn't have to go find Eve in a sense. Now, if the Bible says later on when a man finds a wife, so let me use this, my only example. When I met my fiance, I was walking out of the church, okay? Who would have thought that walking out of the church, I would stumble into something that was meant for me to connect with towards my destiny? Most people walk into the church looking for transformation. I walked out of the church and found something. Now, here's the key thing to it, ladies. I was not necessarily looking for her. I might have been looking at her initially, but I wasn't necessarily looking for her. So just because a man looks at you, Jordan, and smiles, doesn't mean he wants you. So you got to understand, you know, in your level of discernment, that every smile may not mean it's right for you. He may be attracted to you, vice versa, you know, the same instance. But here you got to understand is that if you pounce on him, remember, he's a male lion. And so the analogy I gave to the young lady who asked me this question back at the event, I said, would you walk up to a lion and introduce yourself? Absolutely not, because you're going to be fresh meat. So the same scenario here applies when it's to men. Now, some folks, that might be a little old school for you. Hey, again, to each his own. What we always say, you're going to do you anyway. What I'm just saying is that what's important to me, I look for the woman who can be the Proverbs 31 woman before she can appeal to me to being the Proverbs 31 wife. And if you can't keep your clothes on, you can't be the Proverbs 31 woman to me. So that means when I say keep your clothes on, you dress how you want to dress. But if you show me too much, you've appeased my appetite for the dessert before you've attracted my mind for the entree or the appetizer. Let me paraphrase that a little bit closer for folks to understand, Jordan. If all you show me is butt and cleavage, that's all I'm going to ever see because I've got tunnel vision as a man. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you have to be careful as to okay, let me put it this way. If you go into a steak restaurant, you expect to get steak. So if I'm going to Ruth's Chris, I'm expecting to get steak because that's what they're known for. So I'm saying to the ladies that's out there, what are you becoming known for? You can't let your past and your pain live the promise of your future. So that means you may have been. Jordan at one point said she had a promiscuous lifestyle. She got caught up into some things. So you may have found yourself being that one. But you don't. What she's saying to you is that you don't always have to stay stuck in that same quandary of where you once were. She said, I was called out of darkness and into the light when I found God. So she found a good thing. And guess what? In the process of her waiting, she learned who she was, and where she was. And God knew exactly that she needed to be in the Word to prepare her for the next level of her destiny. So what does he have her doing? He has Jordan doing the same thing that he did with Ruth. What was Ruth doing before Boaz met her? She was working in the garden. What do we mean she was working in the garden? Okay, Jordan, let's paraphrase that and break that down. She was working on her purpose. You see what I'm saying? She was working on what God called her to do in the kingdom at the time, and that's when he noticed her. She didn't say anything to him. You notice that, right? Come on, talk back to me. You see what I'm saying? She didn't have to say anything to her. Here's the thing, ladies. When you do what you're called to do in the kingdom, my fiance didn't say anything to me. She noticed me 2 years prior. So this is a story that's going to bless somebody. She noticed me 2 years prior. 2 years prior. Was in the same circle as me 2 years prior, and I didn't even acknowledge her presence because at the place of where I wasn't looking for her. It was not yet the time. It was not yet the season. It was not yet the place. See, what happens is this. You can meet the right one, be in the wrong time, and in the wrong season, and guess what you got? You got a hot mess. So it's important, the significance is waiting on God, not leading with your emotions.
Wow.
And I think that's really key right there.
Wow. Woo. That's powerful. Man, I hope somebody was typing that down or something. You need to put that in a book somewhere. Wow, that is really powerful. That ministered to me. Wow, thank you. Yeah, that is so true. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. It doesn't matter whether you're the right person or not, or it's not about how good you look or how long your weave is. None of that stuff plays a factor. The point is that if it's your season, it's your season. If it's not, it's not. And I think it's so important for women to realize that, because sometimes they go out and they try to change who they are, or change more of what they're doing, or change something about themselves to try to make themselves appear more attractive to somebody else in their eyes. And it's just like you said, like it's either your season or it's not. You can be the right person, but it can be the wrong timing. I've heard of other stories of just women, and this one couple, Heather and Cornelius Lindsay, and she said her husband would pass by her for years in the church and not even acknowledge her, not even really, you know who she was. And it wasn't until the time where God ordained it where they came together, and she wasn't chasing after him. And so I think something else that you said really got to me just about you were the one that approached your wife, not your wife one that was the one that approached you. And the same thing with Ruth and Boaz. Boaz was the one that noticed Ruth, not the other way around. And with women, I think it's so important for us to realize that we are the ones that are found. It's he who finds a wife finds a good thing. And if you think about it this way, if you were, in order for something to be, think about when you lose your keys, right? And you're trying to find your keys, which is the most aggravating thing in the world, especially when you're already running late, right, Chris? And so if you're trying to find your keys and you don't know where they are, and you're looking all around the house, I don't know about you, Chris, but I want my keys to be in one specific location for me to find them. It's going to be double hard for me to try to find my keys if they're trying to find me. Or if they're, you know, hopping up from one room to the other, I'm going to have a difficult time trying to find them. Just like if you are trying to find someone and you know how you get lost and you are out wherever, in an amusement park or what have you, in a public place, and you are trying to meet up with somebody and there's a lot of people around, and what do you tell that person? You say, okay, stay where you are. I'll come and find you. You know, both of you guys aren't walking around trying to find each other. So I think it's so important for us as women to know our position, to just stay in place and stay where we are. If you are in a position where you are trying to find him, he's not going to be able to find you because you're not in position. My keys are not in a position to be found if they're hopping from one place to the other. I can't find them. And likewise, if I'm trying to find my friend in a busy concert or a busy, and she keeps moving around and she's not in one location, I can't find her. And so your position and your mindset determines your position in life, and it also determines the position of how God sees you. If your mindset is all over the place and you're trying to be found and you're trying to find him, then you're not in the right position to be found, and God doesn't see you as equipped or ready to be be with that man, because you're not following Scripture. You're trying to go on to dating websites and go on to this place and that place to find him, and God is like, stay in position. Stay in position, because if you don't stay in position, just like those keys or just like that person that's lost in the concert, you can't be found.
Hey, Jordan, I think that's so key. I just posted something in the group page that, and I'm really saying this to the ladies as well as to the guys. Stop looking for something that's not yours in the beginning. Stop looking for something that doesn't belong to you. You know what I mean? And that's the thing is that, how do you know? Well, that's a whole other segment that I really want to do, that it belongs to you. So that's a good segue into the question, Jordan. Let's talk a little bit on that. How do you know that he or she is the one, you know, and how do you know it's of God? What are some of the signs for that?
Okay, well, definitely God will, if you have that relationship with God and that closeness with God, he will tell you. He speaks to us in different ways. So He'll either impress it to you upon your heart. He'll speak that to you, and he'll speak it to you through his word, or he'll speak it to you just by talking to you, or it might even be prophetically. But one thing I will warn you about this is that you need to have a relationship with God to hear his voice. So a lot of times women like myself, I've been wrong about the one before, and I was like, God told me, you know, this guy is going to be the one who I marry and blah, blah, blah. And I was so wrong. And it's not that I wasn't trying to get to know God, but I didn't have a strong enough relationship with him to know his voice for myself. So I would definitely say that be cautious. Yes, God will tell you, you know, according to his will and according to his desire, if that person is who he has for you. But if you don't have a strong relationship with him where you know his voice for yourself, please don't, you know, go around saying, oh, God told me this person is the one, this person is that person is the one, when you don't even really know God for yourself. Like, get the time to know God for yourself, and get to know who you are in him and learn his voice for yourself, and obey him in the small areas of your life, and that way it'll be easier to hear him in the larger matters of your life. Because it's so easy to let your emotions speak louder than his voice, and you let your emotions speak, and you go off and you get with somebody and you're with them for years, and then God is like, that's not even who I called to be with, that's just your emotions that were speaking. So I think he'll definitely tell you, you know, he'll let you know. And then of course, there's a pastor who can always counsel you and let you know. Don't be afraid to go to them. Make sure, of course, that you're being led by a pastor who's of the Lord, and that God has led you to that church. Just if you just ask God, he'll show you. If you just pray to him and you just say, Lord, let me know, like, is this the right person that you have for me? But also ask God, Lord, is this the right timing? Because just because it is the right person, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's the right timing for you to be with them. So, yeah. Chris?
Hey, I'm sorry, Jordan. I muted it out. But I think this is so appropriate because, you know, I was saying I was muted out. I've been right about some things, and then I've been wrong. But I've been right more than I've been wrong. And I think that what's important, you know, I got a question that was posted so from a young lady, and she said, you know, what do you advise women who are in their 30s and 40s who have been waiting, desiring marriage, and some children serving the Lord in various places? Listen, I would tell you it's simple as this. I posted something earlier, and it had to do with a message that I had read today. I was reading a book on the different levels of your gift, your spiritual gifts. And one of the things that jumped out to me as it was breaking down the different, you know, faith and, you know, how important it is to have faith. But at some point that we have more faith in the grain of the mustard seed that we have in our hand than the seed that we haven't planted. Because we've seen the seed grow before. So we oftentimes will like the fact or get to a point where, okay, Jordan, now I know if I plant this seed, I've had this before, I know it's going to grow. So what do you do with the seed that you don't have? What are you believing in? You know, are you feeding your flesh? Are you feeding your desires? Are you feeding your faith? What are you feeding yourself as you're waiting? Now, 30s and 40s, so got to understand a couple things here. Number one, God is no respecter of person. We just had a couple that made the news a few weeks back. The lady was in her 70s and had children. I'm not saying, you know, and the child was healthy, completely healthy. So God can do anything. Excuse me. And he's still performing miracles today. The key is, are we willing to wait patiently? What does that look like? Well, everybody it looks differently for. Jordan's laid out a slew of things today that she has said, you know, really about waiting, studying. I've talked about getting into a discipleship program. I've talked about counseling. I can really tell you what we've done. And I've been the guy who thought there was somebody, hey, this was the one. And truly, God had revealed to me that oftentimes I want the same thing, you know, don't get it twisted, ladies. God's really want the same thing women want in many ways. We just don't go about it the same way. And a lot of times when we meet someone, you know, for a while, you know, depending on the experience of our past, sometimes predicates the choices of our future. And so let me break that down. To Jordan's point earlier, if you haven't done the work to get healed and whole, all you'll do is continue to break things as you get into your next relationship. And so I think what's important here is as we go through the journey, is to know, all right, well, if this person, if God said, I am going to be married, his promise is never going to return to you void. If God said you're going to have children, it may not look the way you think it's going to look, though. And so all I would say is don't make God your genie because he's your God. You see what I'm saying? And don't put him in a box because he doesn't deserve to be there. And so, and don't make the problem, as Jordan said earlier, bigger than God can handle the problem, because he's still a fixer. He's still a waymaker. If he can part the Red Sea, if he can take the staff and make it a serpent, and if he can heal the blind man, countless things that he's done throughout the Bible, countless things that have been done that he's done here, you've seen it one too many times. So what I'm saying to you is this, in summation, don't believe in the seed that you've seen grow. Believe in the seed that you haven't planted that's in your hand that you have to let go to grow. That's what faith is. Faith does not give you the answer. Faith gives you the test. You feed your faith through the word, through the washing and the cleansing of the word, and that's what you have to do. So whether you're bleeding, you're in your 30s or 40s, don't worry. My girlfriend, my fiance is 35. You know, so here you are waiting. She did, and there's nothing wrong with waiting and doing everything right. Never been married before. No children, none of that. But she waited patiently, learning what it took to be a Proverbs 31 woman. See, that's the key, ladies. I think what I'm saying to you is this. If you focus on being the Proverbs 31 woman, the right man can see your worth, and he'll come along at the right time to prove his value. And it's going to connect, not collide. See, there's the difference. Now, I'm not saying you're not going to have issues. No, I'm not saying that at all. Because as long as there are two people, you always will have some challenges. What I'm saying is through this journey, this is what we did. Now, Jordan spoke to this a minute ago, and I talked about it earlier. But we had to be completely at a point where before I said, I do. Because this is not my first rodeo. This is my second time. But this is the best thing that's ever happened for me. And so we had to be completely at a place where we went through one. First, we went to a class called So You Think You Want to Get Married, which is 10 weeks, Jordan, 10 weeks before you even think about engagement. And it is pretty intense, homework, everything else. And that meant I had to work on me. She had to work on her. And that meant I had to take the focus off of her. And she had to take the focus off me. And we had to do what? Focus on God in the midst of this, because he had already given us a promise. So secondly, after we completed that class, well, there's another class that we offer at our church, and it's called Becoming One, which is 12 weeks. So, okay, now here, typically in this class, Jordan, usually most folks who get into it are at a serious place where they're committed, they're ready to go to the next level of engagement, or actually some may be engaged and ready for marriage. Well, I'm going to make sure we vet this process because God was still doing some things in our relationship. He was still moving. And so I didn't want to be out of order. And I know my fiance would say it was a surprise to her when she saw it. Well, why am I in this class? We should be, if we're in this class, that means we're going through the next level. But it sounds like you're not sure. And that was the hardest thing for her to hear. But what I was sharing was what my truth was. See, sometimes we ask for the truth, Jordan, or we want the truth, and as Jack Nicklaus said, can we truly handle the truth? Because the truth can bring a lot of things that you weren't really ready for. It can open up Pandora's box, you know? So, hey, I'll pause right there. We got a comment or a question from 404-271. So let's take this right now, Jordan. 404-271, welcome to the Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. Hey, tell us your name and where you're calling from and what your question is. All right, 404-271, you're
Hi,
live.
Hi, sorry. This is Jenny.
That's okay, you're muted. You just unmuted yourself.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you. What's your name?
Hello? Janisha.
Hey, okay. Hey, Janisha, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Earlier, when Jordan was speaking about just waiting, my comment is I wanted to say thank you. Today I had went through the process of eliminating someone from my life, and I thought that I was in the happy, healthy, whole stage of my life and realized that I was disappointed because I was in my feelings about having false starts with people that didn't turn into anything more. But I'm learning through the conversation that the two of you are sharing tonight that I still have work to do with my relationship with God. And I just wanted to say this was just such a blessing, and I am so grateful that I had the opportunity to call in. This has been a wealth of information. I wish I was not driving right now so I could have written a lot of this down, but I just wanted to say thank you for hosting.
Oh, wow.
You're welcome.
Praise God. Yay. That makes me so happy to hear that. Wow. Wow.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, go ahead, Jordan. No.
Go ahead. You're good.
Well, I was just going to share with Janisha the great news about the show. The shows are always recorded, folks, ladies and gentlemen. You can hear the show again on the archive. It's podcasted there on the Real Talk with Chris Richardson show, where you can go to the website at realtalkwithchrisrichardson.com. So just go to realtalkwithchrisrichardson.com, and there's an archive, and this show will be archived after tonight. You can go again to the website as well as go to the Facebook group, and you can see that. So, Janisha, thank you, and we are praying for you. I believe in you. And, by the way, folks, this is my cousin from Atlanta, so I know also who this is. So little birdie told me that, okay?
Congratulations.
All right, cuz, love you now.
I love you more.
Okay,
hey, that's
thank
awesome.
You.
That is awesome, George. So, we are about to bring this plane in for a landing. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you've got a comment or question that you'd like to share for Jordan before she gives out her information, we certainly would love for you to bring that in the fold. I hope it's something that's been said tonight, but I've got a question for Jordan before we bring this thing in for our final landing, and it's this. Jordan, if you were to look back at where you are now to where you were 10 years ago, what advice would you give yourself?
Well, ironically, I know a lot of people say, oh, I wish I had listened to my parents, or, oh, I wish I had listened to my pastor or my adult or what have you or whatever. And but ironically for me it's none of those things because and not bad mouthing anybody because the people around me growing up they cared about me, you know, my former pastor who's the pastor I grew up with, not the pastor that I have now, but my former pastor he you know did the best he could, and my mom and dad they loved me and they cared for me, but what made it difficult is that even with all those people around me, I didn't have anyone who really had a solid relationship with God, whether it be in my family or what have you. So, but I did have a Bible, and if I could say anything to my former self, it would be open your Bible. open your Bible, open your Word, take advantage of the ability to open the Word and to read it and to live it. It's just so much power that I gained in my walk with the Lord, and so many things I've overcome, years of frustration and pain and guilt and shame shattered through the Word of God, in just such a short period of time. I just got saved really in around 2012 is when I rededicated my life to the Lord, and he's just done so much in that little bit of time just through one book, the Bible, and it's just so amazing and powerful. So I mean take advantage of just the ability to read your Word. We just take it for so much of that for granted, especially as Americans, because overseas in many different countries, it's illegal to open the Bible. It's illegal to talk about God and to say that God had a son. God has a son named Jesus Christ, and over here we have the ability to not only talk about that, but read His Word freely and have Bible study groups and share the Word of God and talk about our faith and share Jesus Christ with others without hesitation, and we can witness and what have you, and we won't go to jail for it, and it's just so amazing. So open your word. Stop taking that for granted. And when you get up in the morning, do not leave your house without spending at least 30 minutes with the Lord and just being in prayer and just being in his word. Because when you get to work and things are aggravating you or your children are grating on your nerves and you're like, Lord, help me. And God is like, what you want me to help you for? Help yourself. Open up your word. You're not even doing your part. So, and that's not to be judgmental or preachy, but how can you, you know, tell God, you know, Lord, this and that and this and that, and you're not even doing what you have to do. So open up your word.
I could play the organ after that one. That's the one right there. And I would say this to the ladies who are out there listening. I think that's so appropriate to open it up. And if you've never really done it before, don't feel discouraged about it because you're not the only one. There are tons of applications out there today that you can download on your phone that kind of help you walk through, you know, the journey. And to where, you know, if you're a babe or if you're an experienced reader, we all go through something because that's the test of our faith. But here's the thing. We are stronger by our testimony. And so that's what you're seeing now. You're seeing the evolution of Jordan Branch, who was the woman who was struggling with herself, of her self-esteem, a woman who wanted to take herself out at one point in time, a woman who looked to drugs and to look to promiscuity, you know, all of those things. But if she wasn't the woman who went through all that and found God, she wouldn't be the woman who she is now. So, Jordan, that's a kind of a good segue for me. I want to know this question here. We talked about 10 years ago. So if you had to look at 5 years from now, fast forward, think about this. What would you tell the woman 5 years from now? What advice would you give her?
I would say, let me see. I would say 5 years from now, let's say, for example, if I am married or do have kids, I would say look at how much time you had to just be on your own and just, and you know, totally and completely complete the purpose that God has for you and the vision that you have has for you. Because 5 years from now, whether it is that I'm, you know, married or have kids, or whether I'm not married or don't have kids, I know I'm going to be in a different, busier place than I am now because God is moving in my life. He's elevating me. I'm being obedient to him. And that's not to say that arrogantly, but, you know, just when you're in obedience to God, he can move you and take you higher. So I know that 5 years from now, only, you know, I just haven't seen where he's going to take me. I'm excited about that, but it's going to be busy. So I would say just look back on myself and just say, you know, take advantage of this opportunity to just enjoy where you are and use as much time as you have now to just completely dive into your purpose because as things get busier, you know, your schedule gets busier and how much time you have, you know, starts to lessen. So just take as much time as you have now to focus on where you are now and only focus on what God is thinking about. If God isn't focused about a husband for you right now or children, then why should you focus and think on what he's thinking about? And that's how you have your peace.
I think that's a good note to end on. That's really good. And Jordan, we couldn't get out of here before we give you the opportunity to share your information. How can folks connect with you, find you, talk about your upcoming projects, what you got going out there, where you're going to be? Share that information and news. And folks, if you're listening right now, this is the part you want to take some notes on because I definitely want you to stay connected to this young lady. Connect with her on social media, Instagram, Twitter, you know, Facebook, all of the above. Jordan, take it away.
Well, you can find me at jordanwrights.com. That's J-O-R-D-O-N-E, Wrights.com. And that's my blog. And as far as ways to keep in touch with me, my email is on there. And you can also subscribe to my email, my blog so that you can get my emails and the encouraging updates that I have. I also have a book out. It's called I Believe in God Now What? And I share my testimony of overcoming promiscuity, addiction, depression, a suicidal attempt, and the guilt of rape as well. all in that book to encourage women to push past their emotions and how they're feeling and their struggles and to dive deeper in God despite their struggles and their stormy past. And a couple of free resources that I have that will help you deepen your relationships with God. One of them is my free devotional. It's called the Single Woman's Devotional. You can get that on my site as well. And that is for women who need encouragement to spend daily, consistent time with God. So if you want daily time with God but you need encouragement or that push and you don't know how to spend time with Him on a daily basis, that devotional is for you. And I also have a Proverbs 30 Women, One Woman Prayer Challenge that I'm doing that you can join now, and it's continuous, so join whenever, and it teaches you how to pray God's way, how to get answers to your prayer, how to learn how to hear the voice of God, how to get God to talk back to you, how to get a yes answer to all of your prayers by praying His will. And that's the Proverbs 31 Woman Challenge. So those are just some of the things that I do, and you can also find me on social media, on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter at Jordan Wright.
Or hey, awesome. Yeah, go ahead. Give that email address out.
Oh, yeah. Or email me at Jordan, J-O-R-D-O-N-E, at Jordan Wright, JordanWrites.org.
Just a little applause. Job well done. Job well done. And it's been a treat and a pleasure to roll with you through this hour. And thank you for staying with me. Folks, I want to share one little thing, and this is closing. I wrote this, Jordan, back in 2013, and I thought this would be befitting for the women that's out there. And I think that it's significant to hear. Before I read this, this is a poem that I read titled, I'm Sorry, I Never Meant to Hurt You. Okay, but I want to share that. But before I do, I just want to give my own parting words. Ladies, you can be more to a man on your feet than you can ever be on your back. And I think that it's important for you to know that your self-worth is not determined by how good you are when you lay down. Your self-worth is determined who you are in Christ as you stand up on your feet. So just remember that the compromise you make to being all that you can be doesn't require that you have to be on your back to do it. And I think that's significant. Now, I'm the dude who was the player, if you will. We all were at some point in time, had a little bit of past, you know. But, you know, I can tell you straight talk now, looking back, at the end of the day, you know, all of that, it goes away as you mature. I always used to say this, Jordan, in my 20s, I was seeking my identity. In my 30s, I was seeking significance. But in my 40s, I finally kind of got it right past and some experiences. I started to seek Jesus. And you know what? I haven't looked back. And this has been a treat and a pleasure. And so with that, I want to read this poem. So check this out, Jordan. I shared this back in 2013 when I first wrote this. And this is really to all the ladies, because I think this is appropriate that you all need to hear this right now. And so just give me a moment of your time. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I failed you as a man from the very beginning of time when God asked, Adam, where are you? I blamed you. I'm sorry for not accepting my role as leader. I'm sorry for not covering you the way that you needed me to be covered. I'm sorry for not protecting you as a spiritual leader that I was chosen to be. I'm sorry for allowing the enemy to gain such a stronghold on our family. I'm sorry for not rising up and standing for what was right, but I know what I did was wrong. I am sorry that I was big enough to make a baby but not man enough to raise the baby. I'm sorry that I left the hard work of changing the diapers, feeding and clothing the children all up to you. I'm sorry that for not being there to support our children when you needed me the most. I'm sorry that I did not show our children what the model of a man should look like. I'm sorry that I didn't teach them the significance of unity, values, and the importance of the family. I'm sorry that I pushed all of the parent-teacher meetings onto you. I'm sorry that you needed me for moral, emotional, and financial support. I was not there. I'm sorry that I rejected you when you needed time to express your feelings. I was too busy doing me. I'm sorry for the restless nights I caused you as you wondered whether or not our relationship was worth salvaging. I'm sorry for the pain that I brought you into your life. I'm sorry for what I put you through psychologically, emotionally, and financially. I'm sorry for that I abandoned my assignment and shirked from my responsibility as a father, husband, and as a man. I am sorry that I have become complacent in my pursuit of spiritual enrichment, higher education, career advancement, and social change. I'm sorry that I brought my past into our future. I'm sorry that I allow the generational patterns from my family to perpetuate on through my actions or in actions. I'm sorry that I did not show you love the way God intended for me to love you. I'm sorry I did not really mean to hurt you. I've asked God for forgiveness, and he told me to reconcile my wrongs with you. Can you please forgive me for all the pain, suffering, and heartache that I caused you and our children? I'm sorry. So I don't know who needed that. That's something I wrote back in 2013 because I thought that if there was ever a letter that should be written to women, why not from a real man? So ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you guys for listening in tonight. And I hope that that letter may have touched the heart of someone who was maybe in a place where they found themselves just not sure of anything, that they could accept the apology that they got from a man that they really never got from maybe their father, they never really received from a past husband, or an experience of a day-day, a boyfriend who just broke your heart. I want to publicly apologize and say, I'm sorry. But more importantly, I want you to know that there is a God that's out there that sits high, looks low, and that he has open arms. And if he did it for Jordan, if he did it for Chris, he can do it for you. All you got to do is take him where you are and just say, I accept you, Father. I thank you. I love you, and I receive you as my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's it. And the rest is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And then there's a prayer that we go through, the sinner's prayer, and all the things that we go through the parts of discipleship. But that's significant to someone out there right now, Jordan, that may find themselves that this was the call that they needed. Maybe the words that you spoke were all that they needed to hear. Maybe it was the letter. Maybe it was our closing comments or response. I don't know. But if that's you, I just want to say thank you and that we love you and that God loves you. And more importantly, he sees you and he has not forgotten about you. And so, yes, you may be 30 or 40 and still waiting. He said, just wait patiently and watch what I do. What I will do will blow your mind beyond measure. Just sit back and be still and know that I'm God. So I just want to encourage somebody tonight. Jordan, thank you so much for rolling with a brother. It's been a treat and a pleasure.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here anytime.
Well, we'll catch you next time, and I will make sure that all those who are listening can listen to the podcast. It'll be posted in just a few minutes on the website, so tune into that as well as on the Facebook page. Folks, good night, God bless, and we'll see you next week on the Real Talk with Chris Richardson show. Thank you very much.
Hello.